Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Our title sponsor, our go-to sponsor, Owens Mixers, who I was with a little Josh Owens Mixers last night. We're getting that puppy all over the place, the transfusion. It's going to be all over the Masters coverage this week. So when you watch, when you see that we are doing live streams, which are kind of going to double as gambling, and also just you're going to get our real-time commentary, feedback, reactions to what's going on at the Masters, which is clearly the best week of the year.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Gentlemen, it's Masters Week. I got really, really fired up yesterday. I spent pretty much the whole day catching up on and then just watching live from coverage. Brandel going through everything from Pavlova and the Phil story to breaking down Lee Westwood's chances and where he's come up short before. So I am fully immersed in Masters Week. I cannot wait to see you guys in Philly. I cannot wait to place a couple wagers, watch guys come through Amen Corner, see a couple balls go in Rays Creek. I'm very, very excited for this week.
Yeah, no, I feel like last time, you know, the Masters in November, it was our first time with the sports book, and we were just like, oh, what's going to happen? How's it going to be? What are we going to gamble on? How is this going to work? And it kind of just like came and went almost. Like we were just in the moment. Now we know what to experience. And I've been gearing up, like looking at the stats, looking at guys. Like I'm looking at Kevin Kisner's finishes at Augusta National. He's only finished a T21, his highest ever. Like I'm looking at seeing if he's going to project to get in that top 20, which we're boosting at the Barstool Sportsbook. I'm just like, I'm so dialed in. I can't wait to do the fairway bets. I can't wait to do the greens and regulation bets. And I'm just watching all these people on Instagram, all the players post Instagram photos.
I love when they do that.
It's like the new thing now. Like Justin Thomas will just post like an Instagram story on like 13. It's like, what is, you're there? Like, it doesn't make sense that they're allowed to do that, but that gets me so jacked up. So I cannot wait for this weekend or this week, really.
You know who's also doing a great job is the Masters Twitter account, where they've decided to just put out a ton of clipped videos of, like, we had the Phil Pavlova thing. We had the Rory Tiger story, which I know we're going to get into. We had this morning somebody gave John Rahm a little club because he's a new dad. And they just clip these little things and they throw them on there. The Masters app is obviously always great, but having their social media game stepped up has been a nice surprise. And I'm with you guys. I'm ready. I've been going through the Barstool Sportsbook, looking at the odds for everybody. I've been looking at winners. That's kind of, I know that's like a bit of a future. I know we're going to do fairway bets. We're going to do all this crazy shit. It's going to be so much fun responsibly. But I'm looking at winners, and I got two names in the back of my head that I don't know if we want to do predictions at the end or whatever. But I'm excited, and I've said it before on the show. I'm not the biggest gambler in the world, but this is my weekend where if I'm going to do it, I'm absolutely doing it. I'm using the Barstool Sportsbook, and I'm fucking excited.
I've got a name for you guys, and I'm going to throw this out. And I know
give
we're
me your names. Give me these names you guys are talking about.
You want to know why? And it has nothing to do with what I've researched. Has nothing to do with what I feel. The other day, the New York Islanders played a hockey game. They won the hockey game. I was at the game. I went to Borelli's after. Like I say in my tweet, we're going to Borelli's. That's a fact. When I say I'm going to Borelli's, I literally physically go to Borelli's, and I have a post-game drink. I have a post-game meal. And you know who joined me and actually came just on a whim? The owner of the New York Islanders, John Ledecky, showed up to Borelli's. He had himself a post-game meal. You know, we're talking about like Barstool Sportsbook. We're talking about the Islanders. We're talking about Borelli's. And he goes, oh, you're heading to Philly and you're going to play some wagers. He goes, you know what? He goes, for the past like couple weeks, I've had this name in my head and I wanted to let someone know about it. And you're the perfect person to let it know because you're going to be able to go to Barstool Sportsbook. You're able to place a wager. He gave me Harris English. And he said, keep an eye on this guy. He goes, I'm telling you, on Monday after the Masters, when Harris English wins the Masters, you're going to wish that you listened to owner John Ledecky about this call. And to me, I'm like, well, now I have to place a wager on that.
125 to 1.
125 to 1 on the Barstool Sportsbook. That is a name. If you're listening to this show and you're in Philly, you're in Pittsburgh. And I'm sorry, you're in Philly. I'm sorry, Pennsylvania. That's the state. Yep. You're in Pennsylvania. You're in Illinois. You're in Michigan. You need to look at Harris English because this guy is 125 to 1. And we got people talking about him inside restaurants post-Islander games.
Well, now, no one cannot that is currently listening. Everyone's putting something on Harris English to win. 125 to 1 is maybe the most mighty thing I've ever seen. And I have no – he could have just – he might even have the wrong guy. Like, he might just have been thinking about someone else. There might be nothing to back it up. But you dropping that right now – I'm already doing it.
The second I mean, at 125 to 1, you just sprinkle a little bit on it. And if it doesn't pay off, it doesn't. But if it does, that's a great weekend. Woo! I like that name. The two that I've got, mine aren't going to surprise anybody. The two names that I have are Xander Schauffele. He's going into this tournament. He always seems like the hot name that everybody wants to pick. I actually don't feel that amount of buzz this time around. He's 22 to 1 right now. He's not. I don't want to do the favorites. I really don't. DJ's up there. Bryson's obviously up there. Spieth is as hot as he can possibly be going into this tournament. I don't want to do any of those. I want a little bit of value. Xander Schauffele, 22 to 1. I like that. He just plays really well there. He's so consistent that at some point it's got to happen. And then my other one doesn't have much experience there, obviously, but Colin Morikawa, a guy who just is one of the ultimate shot makers. And like I said, not a ton of experience at Augusta, but like, when was the last time you said, oh man, Colin Morikawa, he played a bad round of golf? That just doesn't happen. And I think he can string four together. And the value there right now, I think it's 28 to 1. I think I'm gonna sprinkle a little bit on each of those guys, and I feel very, very confident about both of those picks, honestly.
Well, I will say, too, with Morikawa, you know, Brandel has been hard on this take of, you know, people have talked about Augusta and the Masters forever. Like, you have to putt like a savant, otherwise you have no chance there. And what he is essentially, he's dispelling that and saying, no, no, it's a second shot golf course. The fairways are pretty wide. It's pretty open there compared to where they play week to week. And it's a second shot golf course, an approach shot golf course. That's who really thrives. That's who really wins. And he's going through all these stats about how, like, when Bubba won, Bubba was like not one of the worst putters statistically that year, you know, on the PGA Tour. A few of the times that Phil has won, he's been like one of the worst statistically putters on the tour going into it. Colin Morikawa is, I believe, first in strokes gained on approach shot on the PGA Tour. So I do think he's a phenomenal choice. The I would say maybe the thing that's getting me, and we got Lurch, who's joining the show from his corporate
life. Hey, boys.
Now. Hey, how are you?
good to see you all.
Lurch
you
is too. Joining the show.
The thing that's maybe got me most jacked up this week is the talk about the conditions. Everyone talking about how firm it is, how fast it is. I heard somebody alluding to the fact that it's the firmest and most difficult the course has played since 2007 when Zach Johnson won and he was one over par. Shout out to your guy there, Trent Eddy. So, like, everyone talking Let's about go. These conditions and kind of Augusta playing the way that they all want it to play and the way it's intended to play, and that, like, chips and approach shots are going to be brutally difficult to get close because of how firm and fast the greens are, has got me so excited for this. That might be more exciting to me than any of the storylines, than any of the Rory talk, than any of the Spieth talk. It's the fact that the course is going to play that way and we could get a little bit more carnage than we typically get at the Masters tournament is very exciting.
So I was already going to sleep and waking up like almost like Christmas morning's coming. You know, we're going to Philly, so it's a big trip there and it's going to be a whole thing and we're all going to be together. So I'm like excited about that. And so I woke up this morning, I'm looking at the Instagram stories. It's early and all these guys are on the course and people are practicing. And all of a sudden up on my phone at, I don't know what it was, 8 o'clock in the morning, pops up a text message from Kevin Kisner. And I'm like, okay. So now I didn't even open it yet. I'm like, I have a message from the side. Like, I'm literally looking at Augusta National coverage, and I get a text message from Kiz, who's like our guy. And all of a sudden, it's a selfie with him and this guy in the clubhouse. And he goes, "My man Kurt at Augusta National Golf Club locker room says he wants to play you in a match." And it's a selfie of Kiz and this guy holding Kiz's shoes. And the guy's smiling ear to ear. And he goes, "No bullshit. I walked into the locker room and this guy goes, 'Yo, Kiz, can I ask you a favor? I want to play a match against your buddy Frankie.'" I'm like, "Kiz, I'm like, sorry that you're dealing with this right now on your way to like play like for a major at Augusta." But Kiz loves it. You have to see Kiz's face in this picture. It's so funny. Like, I don't know if we'll even, but he's just, he's smiling ear to ear, Kiz. It's just like the funniest thing. In the middle of the fucking locker room at Augusta. So that got me really jacked up, knowing that Kiz is in good spirits, about to go play Augusta National, like just take a stroll around Augusta, talking to guys in the locker room, talking about foreplay. God, that got me going.
That's got me going. That's got me fired up right now. Wait, like, you're at the tournament, Frank.
Our names were radiating through the fucking locker room at Augusta. That's crazy.
That's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. The fact that, like, Kiz, he's walking in, he's playing arguably the biggest tournament every year for him. And who, what does he deal with first? Frankie.
Exactly. Burrell. I felt bad. I was like, apologizing. I'm sorry, dude. Right.
The guy didn't want to ask Kiz. The guy didn't want to ask Kiz, like, if his game feels sharp. He's like, "Yo, that guy Frankie, can I get a match against that guy? I want to beat that guy's face in." So
it's funny because in my head, it's almost like discussions about foreplay aren't allowed to enter Augusta National. It just seems like something that shouldn't be happening at Augusta. So it's very funny that that's going on.
What a world, gentlemen. What a world.
By the way,
Kiz is the fucking man, though. This is why, like, you know, we have this prop on the Sparsal Sportsbook, but like, how can you not back a guy like Kiz? You know, just every single week, how can you not? That guy, like, there's a lot of guys that take this shit too seriously. At the end of the day, he knows just how to have fun and how to take it lightly. And like there's a couple guys that you wouldn't even want to message prior to an event like that, right? And he's out there like initiating like the joking and the laughter and the lightheartedness. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a couple guys out there, like Morikawa would be one where it's like, you wouldn't even imagine sending him like a message. You're like, "Yo, like, how's it going out there?" It's like, whoa, he may just block it. Like, he's so dialed in, so focused, so ready that like he can't even be bothered about it. We noticed that at the U.S. Open a little bit when we were walking by him. It's like he didn't even – there's no, like, eye contact. It's just – even Matthew Fitzpatrick, too.
Yeah, he kicked us off. He kicked us away from the green, which I get. He's like, "No, I'm gearing up for a major. Right. Like, I don't need you guys and your shenanigans around me right now."
That's how I figure all these guys are. But then you got a guy like Kiz who's just like, "No, it's just, you know, I'm going to do as well as I can." But that has nothing to do with the text messages I send, which is what you like to see.
I couldn't agree more. And that, I mean, Kiz is the best. Kiz is our guy. Kiz sat here and did a 2-hour podcast a few months ago, just drinking wine in his basement. And I think we had zero topics lined out. He's just like, "Oh, what's up? What's up, boys? What do you guys want to talk about?" So, yeah, the fact that now matches versus Frankie are reverberating through the Augusta locker room gives us a little bit of a presence there. So, good work. You got to play this guy now. You realize it.
Have to. I said, I threw in a little joke. I said, "All right, we'll do it at Augusta National then."
Right. Like, that's what I was wondering. Where's this match? Like, was it assumed that it was going to be at Augusta? Because you could be there as soon as possible.
I was all cool. I wrote, "All right, we'll do it at ANGC." Yeah. I don't fucking talk like that. Come on.
Yeah, no. You got to be you there. You kind of panicked for that.
I did. I was like, "We'll do it at ANGC." It's like, all right.
What if you just responded, "Never mind. That looks like a different Frankie. Like, I'm out on that, Frankie."
I also love, like, how I think the workers can just, like, play Augusta National. There's, like, no chance that that's happening at ANGC.
No, I would say probably zero.
Stop saying ANGC.
I mean, your guy's name is radiating. Is it radiating or reverberating? What's the word I tried to use there?
I believe I reverberating.
Radiating. So why did I say radiating?
I think you're kind technically of, you're both you're, right.
I'm picturing like a cartoon where like the things are coming out, like boom, 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 like radiating.
Yeah.
Bouncing off the walls, like physically bouncing off the walls.
Here, listen to this. The definition of reverberate is be repeated, a loud noise repeated several times as an echo.
What about radiating?
I would say they both work, honestly.
So we're just going to get the definition here and then we'll know. Trent?
So radiating. This is more applies to like rays or waves. So I guess they both work, but reverberate works better.
Okay. So radiate's like, oh, your skin's radiating.
Right. Like you're radiating.
Okay. All right.
Be like, that guy's radiating confidence right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say that.
It's good. It's always good.
Because when you're radiating, you're like giving off like waves and stuff.
It's always good to get these things down and get the correct definitions, because there's people that are listening to this like, he's just got it wrong. Yeah. So that's good.
The Tiger Woods story that was alluded to earlier from Rory McIlroy, this story is going pretty crazy viral. And there's a few different tidbits. JT had a good one from Tiger. But Rory's gone and visited Tiger a few times. And he told this story about being at Tiger's house and seeing Tiger's 15 major trophies in a cabinet. And he said to him, that's really cool. Where are all the others? Tiger's obviously won 82 times on the PGA Tour. So there's some 60-some-odd trophies out there somewhere that just aren't displayed at Tiger's house. And Tiger said, I don't know. And Rory said, what? He said, Tiger goes, yeah, my mom has some, and a few are in the office, and a few are wherever. And Rory then went on to talk about how his entire drive home, all he was thinking about was the fact that all Tiger cared about was the majors, and how he literally could not, like, there was no setup for this moment from Tiger. There was no preparation. This was just Rory genuinely observing from Tiger's life and what he has displayed and the way that he reacted to the questions of, like, Tiger just sincerely only cares about those major championships. And he then goes on to talk about how, like, freeing that must have been in all the other tournaments that he's won, because he doesn't even care about them. So he's like, clearly, if this guy only cares about four tournaments a year, no wonder he's won whatever 67 others, because he just doesn't even care about those. When he wins the trophy, he gives them to mom, he gives them to Robbie Mack, they're in the office, he doesn't even know where they are. And that, to me, is one of the coolest stories, because you can tell that one of the best players, this is somebody who's going to be a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame if he doesn't win another golf tournament, Rory McIlroy, is having like an oh shit experience, learning that Tiger Woods' main focus, which we all knew already, but that his main focus now times 100 is only major championships.
Does this make us a little sad knowing that, like, you know, we always used to fall back on, well, he's got all the tournaments, he'll hopefully have that record for all, like, all time. That's something that he could fall back on if he's not going to get the majors. And knowing that he doesn't give a fuck about that, and that the one thing he cared about in life, like, may not happen, that to me makes me a little sad.
What I would say is, it makes me believe that that motherfucker ain't sleeping until he has given every last ounce to try to get to that major total, which gives me a little bit of hope.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a nice positive way to look at it. But I do agree with you, Frank. I thought about that, too. Just like, yeah, that's like what we hold on to, but he seemingly doesn't care about it. The thing that I thought was interesting, too, from like Rory's stance and just thinking through that mentally, is like Rory's like, oh, he's got to be so relaxed now, because when he's playing in these tournaments that he's like seemingly like doesn't care about, like it's just like another day playing golf, which I thought was interesting, because now when you play in the majors, like the stress and like the focus that you have is up. So you're like almost not playing in, you know, you're not mirroring what that major experience is going to be when you play like just, you know, the John Deere Classic or what may have you. And so like, I thought that was interesting in terms of like the mental mindset that Rory was taking away from it. Cause like, you know, if there's one person that needs to get out of his own way, it's probably Rory. So I'm sure that that is like a big takeaway, just like how Tiger looks to the world and how he could potentially do that too, because he's been, you know, in his own way for the last couple of years now. It's almost sad to see, but like, you know, I hope that changes for him.
We kind of knew this about Tiger too, though, right? That he cared more about the majors than anything else, but I don't think we realized to what degree, to the point where he doesn't even care where the regular trophies go, where he's just like handing them to people on the street and doesn't care. But like, it reminded me of the, there's a clip of Bill Belichick. Robert Kraft hands him the AFC Championship trophy, and Bill Belichick almost throws it onto the ground. Like, he's like, I don't care about this AFC Championship trophy. I just want the Super Bowls. So it reminded me a little bit of that. But I think it might be the readjustment or the new attitude that Rory needs, because like Lurch was just saying, it's been quite a long time since Rory has won a major. So this can only help him. And I know that one of the storylines always going into the Masters until it happens is going to be, can he complete the career Grand Slam? But it's like, it was just a very cool story. And any tidbit from Tiger these days is something we want. And yeah, what do you guys think about my prediction that we're going to get a video from Tiger at some point this week?
I'm thinking it's less and less likely now that we're like midway through Wednesday and we haven't seen one yet.
Right, it's got to happen tonight, I would think.
I would think so. I think like the closest, if he didn't unleash the DJ tweet yesterday, which I thought was a good one about like, I'm not going to be there to run up the bill tonight. Like that was about as much personality I feel like from social as we're going to get from Tiger. I don't know that you're going to get a second swing from him at it. That's going to be a video. So if we hadn't seen anything, maybe. But at this point, I don't know that we're going to get there.
Fuck, you're probably right.
I know. I just think like he too, that might come a little bit away from like he's taking away from the tournament, or he's trying to like steal the spotlight from the Masters, where it's like, I don't know. I don't know that we're going to get one. I'm not as confident as Trent.
Yeah, I think like he could also be like, he could be still injured. Like, I don't know which light he wants to show himself in. Like, nobody's seen a picture of him post-accident. You know, he could be still, he could have some dings on the face. He could be injured still. Yeah. Which,
that's true.
You know,
that's
I don't
fair.
Think you can understand. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, an interesting kind of thought about this Rory story to me was that clearly you could argue, like we've watched Tiger win regular PGA Tour events, and he's fist pumping, right? And he's jacked up. And like, so I do think in the moment, he obviously cares. In the moment, he wants that win more than anything. But I guess, so I was struggling a little bit with that in my mind of like, clearly he does care. But when he takes that step back, when he decides in his brain, what am I going to display in my living room? It's 15 trophies. And another thing I noticed from that is like the Players' Championship trophies weren't in there. So it's like he, you know, people, we've been debating that a lot over the last month or so of like, well, everybody does say, you know, he's got two majors and he won a Players. It's like, well, when we really use the barometer, who's better do we go off of than Tiger Woods is? And Tiger Woods put 15 trophies out of his 82 in his living room, in his case, wherever it is, and he chose only the major championship trophy. So I think that's pretty telling.
Imagine how cool Tiger Woods' like display is compared to, like, think about how cool it was to walk around Pat Perez's display of his Jordan shoes and like all the stuff that he's acquired throughout his career in that glass casing. Now imagine going through Tiger Woods' and looking at all the stuff, all the little things that he's gotten from Augusta and the Open and all these things. I can't imagine what his display looks like. I honestly can't. I don't even know where to begin.
It gives me chills. It legit must be the most impressive thing that you can have. But now I'm worried that he doesn't have any of it, that he's just only got 15 major trophies and like there's nothing else in his
home. No, there has to be.
Nothing on the walls. There's nothing on any of the mantles. It's just 15 trophies.
No family pictures, no nothing. Just trophies. Just major championship trophies.
15 trophies.
Pat Perez had some things that like we didn't even know existed, right? Like little pieces of little glasses from Augusta National that they'll give you for playing in it and all those crystals and stuff. So you got to think that he has other things other than, I mean, if he only has 15 trophies, that'd be legendary, but there's got to be at least a pen or something. Something's on display aside from the trophy.
Yeah. Like he won the US Amateur 3 times in a row. Like he's got to have sweet stuff from that. He was captain of the winning President's Cup team. I bet he's got sweet stuff from that. Like he's got
to
have more.
Crazy amount of focus though that he has, like that would just speak to how different he is fundamentally than any other person. All those cool little tidbits, like USAM, like are you kidding me? I would hold that to the day I died. But for him it's like no majors, no, all we do is majors.
Imagine he has this,
it'd be
closet.
Kind of creepy walking in and seeing that.
Imagine he has this closet, like, and you open it up and it's just a bunch of just rattling trophies that come out and it's just all on the floor. It's like, what is all this? Like, oh, it's the USAM, it's the fucking Ryder Cup. Like, it's just, what the fuck? Like, it's just, do you not care about any of this stuff? He's like shoving it back in. You're both like, you're both shouldering the door back in, trying to close it.
Let us get one of those trophies. Give us one of the trophies. One of the 82 that you don't care about, Tiger. Send one our way and we'll display it proudly.
Oh, yeah. Which one do you guys want? Which one will we pick?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. Obviously.
67 other ones.
I would take a Players. Players would be kind of sweet.
I might take.
Or his first win. That'd be sick.
Yeah, like the Vegas one when he won in Vegas. Oh, that's probably the answer. That's probably the answer.
Or you would take a super duper obscure one, just an absolutely obscure one. That would be more what I would want.
Yeah, because there's like 25 that you probably would just be like, Tiger won that one? Oh, amazing. Like, you just have no idea. He won so many of them.
I would love to get one that, like, associated with a shot. Like, I think it was the Canadian Open where he hit that dart out of the sand in, like, the dark to, like, 6 feet behind the pin. Like, I would just have that video replaying behind the trophy. I think it would be something like that. It would be so sick.
He's got a lot of them.
Tiger, an Arnold Palmer one would be good.
Bay Hill. Yeah, maybe when he threw his hat that year when he made that putt, that'd be a good one. Like 08, I think that was 2008. The other Tiger story is JT talking about texting with Tiger. We went and saw him, and then, you know, Tiger kind of texting him. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and basically kind of it setting in that Tiger was sad. He was bummed that he wasn't going to be there for the practice rounds with Freddie Couples and JT. They kind of have a little tradition where they've been playing together the last several years. And, you know, Tiger being bummed out that he wasn't going to be there. I would say, like, me hearing those kind of stories actually made me, like, feel a little bit positive, just that, like, Tiger's there and Tiger's having these thoughts and these emotions, right? He's not just, like, I know he's not this, but he's not just, like, a vegetable that we're hoping is, like, clinging to life. Like, he's a person who's experiencing these Masters emotions kind of how we want him to experience them. Like, clearly he's too injured. He's in too much of a recovery mode to be able to travel up and go to the Champions Dinner and all of that. But that he's kind of in contact with all these guys, with Rory, with JT, with whomever, and sending them legitimate human emotion type feelings that I think normal people would have of, like, hey man, have fun out there with Fred. Like, I'm bummed I can't be there. It just kind of made me, it felt like I was getting a little bit of a window into, like, I could envision Tiger sending those texts. So it almost felt like I was watching the Trent video that we were hoping for of Tiger doing something that shows that he's, like, alive and well.
Yeah, and it's cool to hear it through these guys. Just, it's almost better than hearing it directly from him, just that he's, like, this elder statesman who we all think and hope is going to be back at some point. But it's great, like, just, obviously the Rory trophy story was great, but just the thought of Rory McIlroy driving over to Tiger's house and going inside and having those two meet, there's something that is even chill-inducing about that. And obviously him and JT are very close, so hearing the stories and the thing about how he's missing the practice round with Freddie and JT, I agree with you. It's nice that he's going through the Masters emotions, but I think a layer of coolness is added when you hear it through this next generation of guys who clearly are in contact with him, being like, hey, man, how you doing? And he's letting them know what's going on in his life and how his recovery's going. I honestly didn't expect to hear many Tiger stories. I was sad that he wasn't going to be there. But now that we're having guys talk about what Tiger's going through Justin Thomas and Rory, it's just a very cool thing for golf.
You think Tiger tells them what happened?
Yeah.
Well, isn't LA Sheriff's Office going to release that today? Wednesday?
Is that true?
They're going to release. Oh. Yeah. That's a breaking release that came out yesterday. The LA Sheriff is going to release the story of what happened with Tiger today. And now I don't know how much they're going to release, but that's certainly, like, on the agenda for Wednesday, but I don't know what time. So, you know, I know we're recording this now. There's a good chance that we're going to have to hop back on the mic later today.
Well, what I'm seeing is update. This is from TMZ. Tiger Woods driving 83 miles per hour in a 45 zone at time of crash. Speed was determined as the cause, which I would say probably is them revealing almost nothing, because everybody knew he was going too fast.
Yeah.
And if just speed is the cause of accident, that's like, I mean.
Right. Then you're going to say you're doing something. You're really just restating the obvious. Like, it's like, that's, you know, like what? I mean, he was going 10 miles an hour. Like, his front end was banged into,
like,
the
why
back
did you
end.
Act like, stupidly there, Riggs? Like, science. I just, like, science made me act. And people, like, that doesn't say anything.
Right. They're acting like that's going to satisfy people. That explanation. Yes. That he was going too fast is the reason his car crashed. We kind of knew that already. And they've said, what was it, a week or two ago, we talked about it on this podcast, that they know the real reason, and they're just not going to tell anybody.
Also, it's like so not there's like no description as to how it happened, right? It's like someone getting shot in the head and then them being like, the person died from bleeding out. It's like, well, how, like, where did that, like, how'd
that
happen?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's just so speed. Stupid, too. It's speed. Like from a PR release, it's like, this happened. You already said you're not going to release anything. And now going like a couple weeks later or whatever and saying like, oh, no, we're going to release the information. And just said like, no, he had a really bad crash because of speed. It's like, now you're just pissing people off again. It's
right.
Like
if they had said that, if they hadn't said the first part where they were like, we're not going to release anything. If they had a week ago said the cause of the crash was speed, people were still going to be upset about it no matter what. But at least they we wouldn't have the first part where they said, hey, we're going to lie to you. We're not going to tell you anything. And now we're going to tell you it's speed. It seems like the PR for the LA County Sheriff Department, not great. Seems like a mess.
So back to my question. Do you think that Tiger would release the actual information to his close buddies, Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy?
Yes.
I think those two are in the circle.
No, I don't think it even comes up. I don't think it would even come up.
That's so awkward. It's like, how do you? He's sitting there. He's like, who knows what he looks like? I'm picturing things hanging from the ceiling, his leg up. It's like, what's up, fellas? It's like, I mean, we bring this movie in so much, but it's fucking Office Space, where he opens up the door after the guy gets fucking hit by a truck. He's like, how's it going? It's the best day of my life.
JT, it's like, how do you? Tiger's not... telling JT about the jump to conclusions, Matt. That's the whole thing we're thinking about.
How do you not bring that up? Like, how do you just ignore that?
I don't know. You'd be like, so like, what happened? You know? And then I also think Tiger would just be like, I don't know. I don't remember. And then they'd be like,
the only reason I really ask this is like, if they're in such good spirits about
it. I'm seeing Frankie's mouth move, but I don't hear anything.
I know. I'm getting you. Producer Jake got me nervous about this hiss. Our fucking producer Jake said, can you go into your settings and see if there's a way to get rid of that hiss that happens in the background? I said, yeah, let me go check for that turn hiss button off. I've been going on and off mute. But the only reason I really asked is because if they're in such good spirits about like telling stories about Tiger and being like, yeah, I went over and saw him, if they had known exactly what happened, it makes me think that things are a little bit lighter in the Tiger Woods house with them like coming and at least like admitting that like they've talked to him. If this was like a super dark story, like I don't know that we'd be hearing about like Rory and JT talking to him. Like, you know what I mean? Do you guys get that feeling as well? Like something about it feels very like accident-y and like, oh yeah, I just fucking, you know, I wish I was there. But if this was like super dark, super, super dark, like we were expecting when they wouldn't release the info, I don't know that we would hear this much about Tiger this week.
I agree with that.
I don't even know if JT and Rory would enter that house if he was going through like some really bad shit.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think if you're, no matter what your buddy's going through, right? Like we got to kind of, I guess, take it away from him being Tiger Woods and he's just your friend now. Whatever your buddy's going through, like, and he lives right down the street and you know he went in a car accident like he got into, like, no matter what the circumstances, you got to go see your buddy. Like, you have to.
JT knows. So, I know JT knows.
Yeah.
Him and JT are close. Him and JT are closer than anyone, I think, honestly, ever thought they would be. But they're legit buddies. Him and Rory are close, too, but certainly not as close as him and JT are. JT knows. I'm positive he told JT.
Are you saying that because of the President's Cup? The President's Cup seemed like that they were like the best friends of all
just
time.
Didn't they have a practice round together at Wingfoot like the week before? Like every time there's a discussion about JT and Tiger, it seems like there's a genuine closeness there and a genuine friendship. And I think Tiger would tell JT, if anybody.
But we saw how close. We saw them at Pebble Beach, too. They were super tight on the putting
green.
What do you think there is to tell? Like if it's just like Tiger's like, yeah, I just fell asleep. I just literally like fell asleep when I woke up. It was a train wreck. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's awful. And then they, like, I don't know that there's, like, what Tiger intentionally drive his car off the road. Like, what is there to really tell?
No, it's just what happened?
That the LA County Sheriff is giving us nothing. It's very vague details. Tiger clearly knows all of the details. He was involved. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's parts that he can color in that the LA County Sheriff Department is unwilling to give to the public. You understand? Like, like, just right now, what we know about the Tiger crash is that now he was going too fast and that he, you know, he drove off a cliff, his car flipped over twice. There's more, like, what was he doing before? What happened immediately after? Those are the things that Tiger knows.
But I don't think he's doing anything. His legs are broken. I think he was just laying in the car.
Then before. I think before is interesting.
What if he just, like, fell asleep and that's just the whole thing?
Do you think that's what happened?
Yeah, because there's no breakage whatsoever. So what else could it be?
Well, like, what would make him fall asleep? Like, driving a car 45 miles an hour, 85 miles an hour is a question, right? Like, that's like, I mean, I feel this is weird. I feel like we just got done talking about how the LA Sheriff's Department didn't tell us.
Right.
We all agreed that, like, there's a lot of stuff missing. And now you're saying there's, like, literally nothing missing. He was just going fast.
Right. To be devil's advocate there, I mean, yes, he could have fallen asleep. He could have been on drugs. He could have been trying to kill
him. The whole story is, why did he fall asleep? What are we doing here?
Did you get a Venmo from the LA County Sheriff?
I know.
Did you get a Venmo?
Did an alert go off
on your phone that said LA County Sheriff?
10 seconds ago, you just agreed with this.
No, yeah, but here's what I'm saying, though, is that, like, I don't – what I was agreeing with was that, like, I agree that they clearly are giving – they're choosing to give the minimum amount that they can possibly give. But I don't think that that also equates to meaning that there's a lot that they're not saying. I don't think that that's necessarily the same thing. What I'm saying is, like, I don't know that even they would know, because they chose, like, once the guy got on scene, they've admitted that they were like, yeah, we didn't see any signs of, like, under the influence. So they didn't even, like, test him for that. So they wouldn't even know. Like, what would they know outside of Tiger telling them?
But they're telling us that they know something that they're not telling.
And they can't release it.
That's where you know that there's information that's missing.
But they're not saying that, like, but that doesn't mean
they are
that
saying
it's
that.
Something, but that doesn't mean that it's something, like, monumental. Like,
maybe not, but that still means there's information there.
Because they still haven't even said that he fell asleep. Like, we're all just inferring that. So, like, the only thing that they might know is something very obvious, much like when Tiger was in the sex rehab thing, like, everyone knew that's what he did and where he went. But Tiger and his team were super rattled when anyone that was inside their circle would say that he went to sex rehab. So it could be – my point is, it could be something extremely simple like that, where they're just not saying the stuff that we all already can infer, and they just don't want to, like, confirm it. But my thinking is, like, it wasn't a massive, like, murderous crime scene and we really need to know what happened. Like, I think it's pretty obvious he was – not like he just wasn't alert in that moment. And yes, that is, like, the question, but I don't know that it's going to be some, like, sexy, amazing story answer. I think it's probably pretty simple.
Totally. And I agree that just because they're not telling us something doesn't mean it's scandalous or salacious, but it does say that there's information that the public doesn't know, that they do know. And that information, I would be curious to know if Tiger shared that with anyone, if he shared it with JT. It's certainly information that I would like to know. Yeah, it potentially might be super boring, and it's just, you know, accident-related stuff that's pretty much by the book, but there's still information that they have told us that they're not telling us.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. 100%. I'm just not convinced that that's that. Like, I think it's probably just pretty boring. Like, I think we've all pretty much either touched on it or said it. And so I don't know that it would be that – I just don't think it's, like, that groundbreaking. Like, we all saw him. He appeared a little groggy the Sunday before. Like, it was probably something slightly either related to that or, like, well, then why was he just asleep? But, my whole point is that, like, we already have gone there. So I don't know that it's that fascinating.
I'd also say if the information that they have that they're not telling us isn't salacious – that seems strange not to release it. Because I think if you give that information out and it's just like, yeah, he fell asleep. It was 7 in the morning. He was tired and he fell asleep. That puts to rest a lot of the speculation that goes around saying that you're withholding information like that.
But I don't know that they would know that. How would they know that he just fell asleep versus him having – because they chose not to, like, take the blood tests and stuff. So, like, I don't know that they would even know. Like, if someone just fell asleep, how do you know that they just fell asleep?
Okay, but saying I just don't understand the part where if you have information that isn't salacious and isn't in any way going to, you know, make headlines, why not just release it? Because that calms people down.
What do we know that they've said that
they literally said we have information, but we're not going to release it.
Yeah, they did, but we Yes, but I get. I don't know, like, that. That proves that it's. So I just don't. I don't know.
I mean, if it was like a. If it. Like, okay. I mean. Yeah, I mean, it could be boring, but if it's a DUI and the guy like could have killed a million people driving on the fucking street, like it's a little bit more than just a guy falling asleep because he didn't get a nice enough sleep at the Hilton down the road.
And if it
like,
wasn't that, then release it and stop having people speculate about it.
But
like maybe they did do tests. Maybe they did do tests though, and like that's why they're not releasing it. Right? They have a lot of information that they're not releasing.
But
like,
I don't know. But if they did do tests and they're not releasing it, that incriminates all of them. They can go to jail for that. Like that, you can't.
Well, a lot of people are saying like they don't understand how this went down. Like it's the most bizarre police work of all time that they like didn't test a guy that drove 85 miles an hour off a cliff and flipped his car three times and could have killed people in oncoming traffic. How do you not test that guy? So they're like, that is a big storyline in this. So this is a little bit more juicy and maybe a little more salacious than we're thinking. You're saying it's all the stuff we already know, it's boring. Even though 10 seconds ago we just said how, like, if you get shot in the head and you're bleeding out, we would want to know that there was a gun there, not that you just fucking bled out.
Right, but
We don't know what the gun is. We have no idea what happened, why he fell asleep, how he fell asleep, if he fell asleep. What, like, we don't know that answer at all. That's something we want to know. And all I ask is, did he tell JT?
I don't know that they could know. I don't know how they would possibly know. If they didn't test him, then I don't know that anybody
could
know the
risk. Doesn't that add to it a little bit in your eyes? That doesn't make your ears perk up at all?
No, it does.
Like, they didn't test the guy that has a history of problems and has gotten pulled over before?
It clearly
does. And now they're just not.
It clearly does. But I think my point is that the only answer to that is the answer that we already know. So it doesn't, like, it's not like it was this. It's either that or it's this, and we already know those. So it's not that. It's just not that. Like, I don't know. It seems pretty fucking obvious.
I would say
and I don't think that you can answer the question because I don't know how you literally have the proven evidence. I don't think anybody has it.
No, yeah, and I agree with you on that, but
I think we disagree there. So,
yeah, we're going in circles a little bit, but. My internet
as a bystander for this three-way circle, yeah, I would say there's some circles going on, but I think it's almost an agree to disagree.
Yeah,
I think
it's just like cool that there's. Go ahead.
I think it's just as fair to infer that it's salacious as it is fair to infer that the information is boring. I think those are both options because we don't know.
So do you think? So you think it's likely that Tiger gave JT and Rory salacious information about what happened?
I mean, like,
I think it's likely,
obviously,
yeah.
That's more likely than him telling the fucking LAPD. Like, that was the reason I brought this up. Like, do you think these guys are so close and boys that, like, he's sitting there in his house being like, I fucking did it again. My back was killing me. Like, this is, like, we're trying to keep this shit under wraps. Like, that's what I was inferring is, like, are they that close? And if they are that close – and they know what he said. That makes me feel better that they're coming back to Augusta National, sitting on a podium, being like, yeah, I just talked to Tiger. Everything's good. Like this whole thing, the only reason I brought this up is because I was saying it's almost more of a positive that if he did tell them exactly what happened, the fact that they're coming back to a podium being like, I just talked to the guy. He's in, like, good spirits. Like, he wishes he was here. They wouldn't have done that if he was like, dude, like, I fucking... A murderer
yeah,
was
like
trying,
really dark.
A murderer was trying to fucking follow me because I was fucking sleeping with this or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's like, I'm just trying to think of every scenario in which this guy's ever found himself in his life. And the fact that he drove off a fucking cliff at 85 miles an hour, maybe something happened to get there. And I didn't know if he would tell Justin Thomas and Rory. That's the whole, man, a quick little question there got into a nice little debate. I like that.
Yeah, I do. I think you're probably right that, like, if it was pretty dark and they had told him, then they probably wouldn't be hearing anything about Tiger stuff right now.
Correct. I don't even think they would have went over his
cover up. Let's move on. We can move on to something else. Or they, you know, are they like, let's make this a positive. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Let's talk about that psycho Bryson DeChambeau.
Let's talk about body armor. We got to talk about body armor light. Ever wonder what Dustin Johnson, last year's Masters champs, number one golfer in the world, go-to drink is for on-course and off-course hydration? I bet you guys can guess it at this point.
Wow, look at that.
Body armor. I felt like I got body armor light, baby. Surrounding me. Body armor light, is that what this is? I think this might be a different one. We got so much body armor in this office that I just drink it constantly. I'm never not drinking body armor.
Body armor's got that alkaline in it, so you see that. You don't really even know what it is, but you see this huge word on there. You just know that you're getting extra hydrated. and you feel better than just drinking your average water. It's not your average water. I drink Body Armor every single second I'm in that office. There's always a bottle next to my computer, and I'm constantly sipping on it.
So DJ's favorite.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Bryson. Let's talk about Bryson, the crazy person. He's hitting it a mile. He said he's got a new driver. He's being a little bit more hush-hush about his equipment this year. You know, I'm not hearing him call the course a par 67 for him this year after he barely made the cut last time. But he's still Bryson. He's still doing his thing. He's still taking crazy swings. And it'll be fun to watch him play this golf course this week.
But it's just a new driver head. It's not – because last time it was a new shaft link, which, like, fundamentally changes the approach. But – it's just a new driver head, right? Is that accurate? I think that's the case.
I believe that's the case. Like, nobody, he was, again, being a little bit quiet. It's not the crazy 48-inch driver. It's definitely not that.
Right.
Now, these swings he's taking on the driving range, we're not seeing that on the golf course, right? This is something that's like, it's like a tempo setter, right? Like, there's no way he swings like that on the course.
We'll see.
I hope he does.
That video of Vijay standing behind him when he is chopping down a tree is one of the funniest things of all time. It's just like he's a lunatic. The way he hits the ball, walks away from it, it looks like a guy in a fight. Or like, we have a buddy, Joe Stearns, who this is really going to make sense to Riggs, but like, he's so in your face. Like, we play a round of golf with him and he thinks it's football. Like, he's like chest bumping you after like a good swing. But that's like the way he is basically approaching the golf swing. Like, he rips a driver, walks away from it, is like almost in like another like bar fight altercation, then he goes for another swing. It is absolute lunacy the way he goes about it.
Right. Bryson does not care where that ball goes. He does not care where it goes. He hits it and he's already grabbing another one as soon as he comes up. Like, the Vijay video is very funny. Watching Vijay just sit there being like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. It was so good, and it was so, he kind of was reflect, like, all of us were reflected in Vijay in that moment of, that's what we all would do, just stand there and be like, what is this guy doing? He also, Bryson had some he was kind of put in a tough spot, but like, there's no great answer, but he was asked about Rory's comments about, you know, changing his swing, basically being influenced by Bryson, and Bryson, he had one comment where he was like, yeah, it's a really difficult task to do, and to do it right, where you hit the ball farther and still hit it straight. And then he was like, I'm very humbled that, like, Rory would try to do something based on me, but he's like, it's just really hard to do. And kind of saying, like, yeah, no, he just couldn't do it, is kind of what he was trying to say without saying it. And I didn't, like, it came off to me as a little bit like, oh shit. But also, I don't know how else you could answer that question. Like, he has people trying to fundamentally change their swings to hit it farther and failing, and it, like, going sideways and it turning into a shit show. Meanwhile, Bryson, like, is the fifth ranked player in the world. He won at Wingfoot. He was 600 par at a golf course that was impossible. Now he's talking about the new lines that he's going to try to take because of how far he's carrying it. He's going to try to hit it over the trees down the right side of the first hole. He's going to hit it down the hill on two. So basically, you know, I mean, that bunker's not even in play for him, essentially, on the second hole. Driving the green on three, which, that was the hole where last year in November he lost his ball when he tried to hit it left, and he hit it in the left rough. But he's going to try to drive the green on three. Flying the bunkers even into the wind on the fifth hole. So those bunkers are death. We know those bunkers are death on the left. He said he played it into the wind and was still able to fly the bunkers, so he felt good about that. He's just going to hit it over the trees down the left side on nine, mm-hmm. and he's just going to hit it over the trees – down the right side on 11. So again, like, we had a lot more of this hype train going into the November Masters, and clearly it didn't really pan out. That could be the same this year. But it's just, it's Bryson and it's ridiculous lines and it's the dismantling of Augusta, and we'll see if he can do it.
A funny way to answer the Rory question would have been to say, and it would have been a little bit of a self burn, is that Bryson or Rory has a life. Like, Rory has a kid, he's got a wife, he's got all these things he has to attend to. And Bryson, he is a golf machine. And I honestly think that's probably at least a little bit a part of why Rory wasn't able to duplicate exactly what Bryson did, because Bryson is 24/7, 365, thinking about his golf swing in Cuomo's living room, swinging a golf cart as hard as golf club as hard as he can, trying to figure it out. When Rory just does not strike me as that type of guy. So I think Bryson could have just been like, listen, I never stop ever. And Rory is a kind of an adult and has adult things to attend to that I just don't have at this time in my life. I think it's fair.
Yes. I think you're spot on. And I think everybody realizes that. Like, I think people realize that. I think, like, Rory probably wants to say that without being able to say that.
Well, and didn't Kizer say something to that effect as well when he was asked about it months ago, or maybe a year at this point, where he was like, yeah, Bryson needs to have a couple kids, and I guarantee we won't be seeing these type of swing improvements, where Bryson just has none of that. We watched the weirdest video ever put on the internet, the lead up to the PGA Tour starting again after the pandemic started, and all he does is wash his Bentley and swing a golf club as hard as he possibly can. That's it. That's all he does. And it's, you know, it pays off for people who can do that, but not a lot of people are in that position.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, like, at Wingfoot, I think the length was a fundamental advantage because, like, you're talking about these lines and getting close, driving the greens, et cetera. At Wingfoot, I mean, if you're hacking out a heavy rough, if you take a wedge versus a 8-iron, 7-iron, 6-iron, it's like it is a distinct advantage, but you still have to get up there. But the way that they're talking about Augusta and the greens just being this army, as like Mickelson was talking about them, and just like it's insane with regards to how fast and firm that they're playing. If he's missing greens, even though he's 20 yards off the green, but close to it, like that's in a much worse spot than someone that's 100 yards back, potentially just because of the spin you can impart in the ball. So I don't know if it's going to be as much of an advantage for him, this length and like these lines that are taking, other than like, oh no, it looks because like he's getting closer. But if he misses the ball a little bit, I think he's going to have a really tough time making par on a lot of holes, three especially.
Yeah, he was talking about, which was interesting, that he basically said, like, there's courses where my distance really helped me, and he thought Augusta was one, and he's like, and there's some where it really doesn't. He brought up the Players' Championship and TPC Sawgrass, and he was like, yeah, that course, just like, that's just not good for me. Where he's like, you could bomb it all around, but it doesn't really help you to be much closer. And I do think, like, a lot of the harder holes and certain stuff at Augusta, it's true that it's, I don't know that it's necessarily going to help, especially if the greens are that firm and that fast. What it does help is, like, on those par fives, man, like, when he can just hit it there and he can pretty easily be on the green in two if he's driving it well, versus like a Kiz just like can't. Like, yeah, he can reach those holes, but he has to like pipe shots, and he's hitting maybe 3 wood in where Bryson's hitting like 7-iron. And I do think that adds up, but like, and again, to Bryson's credit, I watched his whole interview, and he said, he's like, none of this matters if you don't execute. He's like, just none of it matters. Like, I could hit it as far as humanly possible and miss the cut by 10 shots. Like, it just doesn't really matter unless you execute and play your game. And I think that's why a lot of people try to kind of harp a little bit on what he did around the greens and with wedges at Wingfoot, because it wasn't just that he hit the ball a mile. Like, he got up and down like a machine. He putted it great, which is what you're always going to have to do to win pretty much anywhere. So it'll be very fun to watch him play. It's going to be fun to watch him play the Masters, or especially because, like, this is a golf course that we all know, right? Like, watching him play a Wingfoot was cool, but like, we don't know those holes as well. So like, wherever they just cut to him hitting his second shot, we're kind of like, okay, he's at Wingfoot, cool. When they cut to him at Augusta and he's hitting his second shot from a place we've never seen before, that's really cool because we've seen that hole thousands of times and we're like, he hit it fucking there, oh my god. And I think that's going to be very fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. He's I don't know how I'm going into it with him. I don't know how I'm going to go out of it with him. He's a guy that breaks my brain more than anyone breaks my brain in any situation of my life. I'm telling you, when I think about Bryson, I just don't know what I think about him. I've never had that problem with anything. I don't know if I'm going to put money on him at the Barstool Sportsbook or if I'm going to root against him with all my fucking might. You know what I mean? I just...
Yeah, totally.
I would love to root for Bryson. That idea of putting some coin on this guy and watching him hit it over the trees on 11 and going crazy, watching the coverage, being like, look at where that ball went. Like, let's go. Or him stepping up to any drive and doing that Vijay Singh type, like when he did it on the fucking drive range. If he does that on the coverage on fucking, like, on, like, five or so, like, I just can't. I'm very interested to see how he approaches it and if he goes as crazy as we're all expecting him to go, or if he plays it dials it back a little bit, because I just don't know. After last year, it's like, really, man, like, you're setting yourself up to look like such an idiot if you don't make the cut again this year. You're coming in, or he barely made it last year, but like, you're coming into this thing acting like you figured it out. He's doing it a little bit again. He's falling back a little bit in his interviews, but he is saying, like, I mean, anyone that does that on that driving range is saying, I'm doing something differently than you for a reason. Like, hey, Vijay, watch the new guy. Like, watch the new way of golf. And, like, that kind of irks me a little bit, too. So here I am again going up and down the roller coaster of Bryson DeChambeau. You just don't know. You just don't know. Like, would you guys be mad or happy if he won the Masters this year? How would you genuinely feel? You'd be happy if Bryson DeChambeau won?
Yeah, because
I wouldn't love it.
I like, you know, like, just innovation. Like, he's trying something new. Like, power to him to go way outside the bubble, take on a ton of hate. And to achieve that, like, I think that's cool. I applaud that. Now, is Bryson my number one guy? Do I like him as a person? Do I think that he's interesting and someone that I want to chat with? Yeah, I think he's interesting, but he's definitely not somebody not my group of golfers that I think, oh no, I'm rooting for him like I would a kid or something like that. But I would be happy for him. And also, I think it's very cool when someone changes the game on the standard. So I think that's the
cool. When it comes to the game, I agree with you, because I've said, like, if he can come in and be this macho man and, like, do all that stuff every single tournament and be the guy that everyone loves to hate, I kind of dig that. But then you go on his Instagram and he's posting these fucking weird videos that make you just want to see him cry. Like, he's just such a weirdo. Like, I want to watch him be upset after that video with the fucking US Open trophy, and he's like, hold on, and he's doing the fucking leg pumps. It's like, he's just got a bad crew around him that's making him think he's the funniest guy of all time, and that makes everyone hate him. So when it comes to golf, I'm actually his fan. When it comes to everything about him and the way he's attacked his brand, I think he's done a 0 out of 100 job because he's a fucking weirdo and a lunatic, and that's what makes me hate him more than the love of the golf.
Right. I applaud the innovation. I think I'm not.
You're just pro innovation. Pro innovation.
He's a leader in the thought space.
Right, 100%.
Bryson's a leader in the thought space for sure.
Yeah, he is. I would say on paper I like Bryson. In reality, I just don't find him very likable or followable. I think he's like, when they cut to him putting and he's like standing there like a wooden board doing his thing, you're like, what the fuck is that? Like, give me somebody do with a traditional putting, like, just, you know, or when he swings it, even, it's like, give me Freddie Couples. Give me that Freddie Boom Boom, that fluid, beautiful swing like he's in the 1930s. And instead, you got this fucking maniac on the range hitting it, you know, 220 miles an hour ball speed, carrying it 350. And I'm like, well, it's just a little preposterous. On paper, I like him. I'm pro innovation, leader in the thought space. But when I genuinely watch him, I'm not thrilled, and I don't have this feeling of like, oh, I'm really rooting for that guy.
But the thing about Bryson is he's so unlikable that he almost breaks through to the other side. He pushes it so far, and it becomes so preposterous that you can't help but watch. Like, if he was just a little unlikable, he'd be super easy not to root for. You'd just be like, I don't like that guy's vibe. But he's so weird and so unlikable and such a nerd that he almost goes so far that you're like, that's some pretty funny shit that guy does, even though it's the opposite of funny.
Bro, we talk about characters in golf and how we need them. Like,
of course.
You wouldn't even be able to get Bryson's character approved by a fucking cheap sitcom. Like, they would be like, this is the most unrealistic thing of all time. You're gonna have a guy
pumping fucking 9 protein shakes in the before his tee time, hitting the ball 280 miles an hour, and lighting up the world with his new fucking one shaft, one length irons, and all these. He's a cartoon character. He really is, and he's
yeah.
And you never know where he's going to pivot next. You really don't. Like, the next post by Bryson could be worse than the last one. But you know what? That's become his brand of, like, I don't know that Bryson has any fans. Like, you think there's, like, fans out there of Bryson DeChambeau that are, like, diehard 100%. Fucking Bryson fans? You really do? Man, 100%. I think, like, the average normal dude is, like, this guy's a fucking lunatic.
I think they're weirdos. So, I think his fans are weirdos, yeah.
But you think
I
agree with that.
They might be just, like, a gamer in the base. I don't know. Like, but... Yeah, I agree. Your average normal dude is turned off by Bryson.
Totally.
As soon as you saw that Bentley video, it was like, dude, you're so detached from reality. You're kind of disgusted. Like, you're a mess. Like, I don't want to get away from my kids. Like, there's something, like, socially you should be removed from the masses because I don't know if you're fully in tune with the world.
Here. Like, for instance, we have talked behind the scenes about selling a Bryson DeChambeau shirt at one point or another. But then the thought is, like, who's buying who wants to buy and wear a Bryson DeChambeau shirt?
I don't even know if I'd wear our own Bryson DeChambeau shirt.
I don't know. Now, if he wins the Masters, maybe we'll release something and we'll probably wear it. But that's just for
unless you sold like extra larges that came in smalls that were like tearaways that you could just buy them once and then just like flex. And
yeah, you might have to like, sell. Be, you know, yeah,
have
or
to be
like
a gimmick.
Tank tops.
Like, right.
Yeah. Like that's funny, but like, this is the Bryson effect. That is very, very funny. Like releasing a tank top with a Bryson logo on it for golf, right? But
yeah,
when
it's always a tearaway.
But
like
when
every
you,
time you flash
but when you think about like who would actually sit down and buy that, I don't know if there's many people that actually enjoy this guy's brand and what he's doing because he hasn't done it the right way, man. He just hasn't done it the right way.
Well, we're coming at it from an angle too of like. We're making fun of this or we're laughing. You can laugh at the joke. And like Bryson, I think the people that don't like him is because they fundamentally don't think that he can laugh at the joke and like he just misses it. And so we would have to come at it from a different angle or get like those Bryson true fans to come out to us and be like, what t-shirt should we create for those true Bryson fans? Because I don't even think we're seeing it in the right lens to create that like, no, we're just a fan of Bryson. Not making a joke at the situation.
No, we would make
like
a gimmick shirt. You're right. It would be a gimmick shirt. It wouldn't be a genuine one.
Right. And so we need somebody else to come in the room to be like, the genuine shirt for Bryson is like the Hulk or whatever.
I still think that sells 4 shirts.
Yeah, I think we've got our finger enough on the pulse that the fact that we couldn't even come up with a genuine Bryson shirt means no one would buy a genuine Bryson shirt.
I think the tearaway shirt, there might be something to that.
Agreed, but that's like that's ironic. We're ironically selling Bryson merch.
Right.
Right.
I fucking wish, you know who would be the perfect person for his character and what he's trying to actually do? Would be if you take Brooks Koepka's personality and you put it inside Bryson DeChambeau. If a Brooks Koepka was walking to the golf course with like a girl on his arm, like 2 girls on his arm, and he's just, like, so jacked that it can barely fit into his fucking shirt. And he's just doing, like, sup, bro. Like, stepping up to the fucking first tee, hitting a drive, and, like, looking over people. That is the bro that we wanted on the course. We don't want this fucking lunatic that you're like, get away from me. Ew. Unfollow on Instagram. I'm never watching that cringy TikTok shit ever again.
You know what would be a good Bryson gimmick shirt? I don't even know if this technology is available. But if you had a Bryson workout shirt that was originally when it's just a picture of Bryson or a cartoon of Bryson, and then as you start to sweat and it sweats through the shirt, it turns into the Hulk.
Well, that's I don't hate that.
I mean, that's just like, that? You just invented like a ridiculously technological shirt.
It's a workout shirt. It's a cartoon of Bryson, but then as you work out and sweat through your shirt, as it gets wet, it turns into the Hulk. I don't even think that technology is available for
sure. It doesn't exist. Like, you just invented a whole new line of shirts.
A workout shirt that changes as you sweat.
Trent, do
but
you
Frankie,
like...
I think... Oh, sorry. Trent, do you like... Frankie, hold on.
Yes!
I think... So, the quick point, I think Koepka was that person before Bryson came along. Like, before
he was.
Koepka was the guy that was bombing it, and Bryson just, like, did it better than him. Like, So that was the only
he was, but I'd love that. He was, but and we kind of sometimes gave him shit because like he also would like go back and forth on like if he even liked the game of golf. Like Brooks right. always like teetered on like going all in on it. I love the idea of Bryson taking on that persona of being the jock, the fucking five-star recruit lineman at school that wears the Letterman jacket and he can barely even fit in his fucking jacket and he's got a little lunch pail and as he walks through the fucking hallways, people fucking run. But instead, like, oddly, you want to stuff Bryson in a locker. It's like he doesn't have the right personality or character. He just isn't matching. If you had a fucking Venn diagram or you're building a character in a show, we picked the wrong one. Like, we drew that line to the wrong characterization of how his player should play out. We have all the physical attributes, like everything about him, but just his brand is just incorrect. You know what I mean? He's just missing.
Yeah.
He's just missing it, man. Yeah. Like, no, there's nothing cooler than when Giancarlo Stanton walks into Yankee Stadium and he's got a fucking cutoff shirt on and he's wearing the fucking glasses and a backwards hat and you're like, holy fuck, who's this monster from fucking, you know what I mean? It's just crazy. And this fucking guy refuses to do it. I want to talk to Bryson. Let's sit him down and let's repurpose him. Let's repurpose his fucking brand. He'd be the most light guy of all time. He really would be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Speaking of Brooks Koepka, he's injured. He's got the kneecap situation going on. He's admitted that he's going to look very weird out there. He can't, like, bend over. Yet his coach, Pete Collins, says that he's striping the ball. He had surgery, like, 2-3 weeks ago, I think he had surgery. And essentially said that, like, if it were any other tournament, you know, or any other time, that he probably wouldn't be playing, obviously. But it's the Masters that he's hitting it well. So Brooks Koepka is playing. He would be a very interesting person to win, obviously because of the injury thing. It would also vault him. I mean, I was looking at it. He would have 5 major championships, and then he would be 3 legs of the career Grand Slam if he were to win the Masters. And it's kind of this. We've got a little bit of an arms race going on. I mean, obviously, Spieth and Rory have been at 3 of the 4 majors for several years now. But you get a DJ or a Brooks wins one of these other ones that they haven't won, and all of a sudden you've got a little bit of an arms race to see who can get into that coveted. I think there's only been 5 people in the history of the game to win all 4 major championships. So Brooks is somebody to keep an eye on this week, as he always is in a major.
Very much. The pictures that are coming out of his little catcher stance to look at a putt are preposterous. It's like, if your knee can only do that, how are you actually going to play golf for 4 days if you're in the heat of this thing? Because that just looks like a leg that's just not ready for prime time. That looks like you need at least a couple more months of rehab.
Also, isn't his other leg going to, like, give out because of how much extra work the other knee has to give out? You're constantly – I mean, he's doing that fucking Spider-Man or what did he put up, the Power Ranger stance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that just feels like that left knee is just going to, boop, just pop out halfway through this thing.
I applaud him, and I hope he does well this weekend. That'd be a hell of a story. But, boy, this whole thing seems like a really bad idea. Just a bad idea. 3 weeks coming off a knee surgery, and nobody knew he was playing until he started putting out, you know, Insta stories and GIFs on Twitter. Just seems way, way too soon. But, again, if he's even in contention or even close to it, that's an incredible story because, like you guys are saying, the pictures coming out of him putting are very, very funny.
I assume that he was told there's no way he could injure it further.
Right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be playing. That's, you know, which was basically the Tiger situation from 2008 when he was told, you know, like, yeah, you're going to be in excruciating pain, but, like,
You can't really do more damage.
But isn't that, and that's true, but isn't that what they say to people who are about to go into surgery? You say that to a Tiger in 2008 where, you know, you can give it all you got and that thing's going to kill you and it's going to hurt, but you can't do any more damage. And then once it's over, we're going to take you directly to the hospital and fix this. He just had it fixed. And now I would imagine what you're saying, Riggs, someone did tell him you can't injure it anymore. The timing is actually the opposite.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But then is he just an idiot? Like, I don't know why. How would he be playing?
I don't think he is. He's clearly someone told him that it's okay to play. It's just going to hurt like a motherfucker.
There's got to be some idea of risk in his head, right? Like, I mean, he knows that this has to be not the correct decision for his knee, as opposed to laying in a bed and just letting it be perfectly healthy, right? Like, there is some risk in going back and playing the sport that got him hurt. There has to be. Even if it's 1%, 0.5%, there has to be from him coming back this early. So I think at the end of the day, it's the fucking Masters. And if he went out there and he hit golf balls and he played rounds and he's like, I can get through this, he's going to get through it. He's fucking Brooks Koepka. He's in the prime of his career. He wants to get as many majors under his belt as he possibly can. Time is ticking with all these guys. All of us, we're all going to die one day. And if you can get it done, you have to get it done, right? Like, there's definitely some risk. Don't sit there and tell me, Brooks, that there's no way that knee can't get hurt while you're out there at Augusta. It's insane. That's insane to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly not 100%. If it was 100%, he would be a normal person bending down to get it. Like, it's just fundamentally not there. So there's definitely risk.
I also don't know if he's claiming that he can't get more hurt. I don't think he said
you're
that.
Right. That might be something we just created.
I think we created that. But
no, that was me saying that, like, I assume if he's playing that he's been told, okay, maybe it's not 100%, but he's been told, like, yeah, playing in the Masters is not going to, like, blow out your knee and ruin your entire career. And he was like, okay, then I'm playing.
Right. I'd like to think that they were like, Brooks, I don't know if you should do it. And he's like, I'm fucking doing it. That would be cool.
I actually maybe that feels more likely.
That may feel like a story that we're going to hear if he, like, wins or comes down to the stretch, like something he'll tell. Like, yeah, you know what? The team really didn't want me out of here, but, like, look what happened. You know? I'm a fucking gamer.
I mean, imagine him going down the stretch at Augusta putting with that stance. Like, people would be going crazy for that.
I have a question.
Like,
if you
reading greens with that stance?
Would you rather know right now going into it, or would you rather him say it at the end? Like, let's say Brooks Koepka wins the fucking Masters. Would you rather know going in, like, today, that his team does not want him to play, that he's actually on, like, a really bad knee, like, this is bad news, he can barely swing, the rotation's, like, 10% of what it usually is? Or would you rather him, like, while he's getting the jacket on with Jim Nance, like, tells, like, yeah, by the way, like, this fucking knee's done. Wasn't supposed to be walking right now, but I did it.
I always like when it's vague. I like that, you know, I like when
it's the hockey thing.
Yeah, right, upper body injury. You're like, all
right. Right. You find out at the end, like, the Bruins win the cup, Bergeron had, like, broken ribs, and Chara had a broken foot, and you're like, that's badass.
Right.
Like, that's cool.
See, that's why I was asking that, because that is, I love that storyline of, like, knowing a guy played the whole playoffs with a broken foot. It's like, oh, shit.
Right.
Because you get to look back and enjoy, like, oh, my God, he did that, he did this. It'd kind of be weird the other way, like, everything he did, you'd be analyzing with the knee.
Yeah, Iowa wrestler Spencer Lee did that recently. He won his third national title in a row, and in his post-game presser, or his post-match presser, he was like, I have a torn ACL. I have no ACLs right now.
How much does that mean to your state?
That means a lot. It means a whole lot. Wrestling is gigantic in Iowa.
Big wrestlers down there, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
No, I was big wrestling.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I was not a wrestler. It seemed far too intense for me. I played football, but wrestlers are different. Wrestlers are built very, very different. The way that they work out, the way that they cut weight, the way that they'll just, if they got to cut weight, they'll throw on 8 pairs of sweatpants, 8 hoodies, and just run around in a hot room. I'm just not built like that.
Do you ever get thrown into a headlock in your day from a friend or something?
No, I did not.
Come on.
My brother
Everybody's been thrown into a headlock.
Yeah,
My buddy, my best friend,
wrestler friend of mine?
Yeah, dude. Like they don't stop. And Dave talks about this all the time. Dave Portnoy's fucking roommate in Michigan
was a wrestler and he'd just throw him in headlocks and fucking like guillotine moves all the time. It'd be like the craziest. He's like, I couldn't go to sleep. He'd just fucking throw me on the ground and put me in some fucking spread eagle.
But picturing Dave in that right now.
Just like, get on. Dave was going to like, he was like going to nursing school just to get a degree. Like he didn't even want to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. One of my best friends, my friend Chris, he lives right down the block from me. He had a fucking – him and his brother are wrestlers, and they had a wrestling room in their basement. It was an octagon with padded walls and a padded fucking floor. And I'd get tossed in there and just be fucking, like, ragdolled. Like, I'm like, I just want to come play Halo. I don't know – when did today's fucking, like, events – we just played Manhunt on the street. We're fucking playing Halo. We're eating popcorn and Kiwis. When did our little play date turn into me getting slammed against this fucking wall today? Because I can't handle this shit anymore. I really can't. Getting double teamed. One guy's got my neck. The other guy's got my fucking wrist. I'm like crying like a little kid. It was a nightmare place to be. But yeah, wrestlers don't stop, man. They do not stop. They throw their fucking chin in your back. You ever get that? Where they're on top of you and they throw their chin on your back and you're like, oh! you can't even fucking imagine what that feels like. God damn, wrestlers are too much.
They could just dominate you on the floor. That's just what it is. Like, they will just dominate you no matter how big or strong you are. They will dominate you.
They're like little monkeys. They just fucking all over the. It's crazy. KB right, No Swag
right,
is a.
They wiggle into position.
Yes.
They like, in terms of like, they get you in a position, they understand like how the body can move, and then they take that and you're like, wait, now I'm like really stuck. And like they just like, and they keep like wiggling, and then you're like,
and the more stress and like strain you put on actually makes it worse for you. Like you do this one angry move, you're like, but then your shoulder pops. You're like, oh fuck. KB No Swag is a fucking like all time wrestler, right? He's a college wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to him. He's got the
cauliflower ear and everything.
Yes, he's got the mark on him.
That's the mark.
those are guys you don't fuck with.
With a guy with a cauliflower ear, man. if he's had his ear to the mat that much that his ear's officially deformed, have the mat. It's yours. You own that. That's your domain. I don't want anything. You'll never see me there.
Right. I think that's why I've never really been, like, throughout high school or anything, I didn't get, like, pinned by a wrestler. Because I knew not to fuck with them because I've seen them in action so much. It's like, you just don't mess with those guys.
Trent, the real story of Trent is they'd see him walking down the fucking hallways a mile away. Trent would get pinned right in the middle of the fucking, right in the middle of home mech. He'd get his fucking titties twisted.
Just fucking no!
Just like, fucking squeezing both his titties.
Like two monkeys jumping on a buffalo, like trying to take me down. I'm trying to struggle to get out.
No, that never
happened to me. I knew not to mess with wrestlers. You just don't do that.
You also were the football guy, so maybe you were on the same kind of like, don't fuck with me level. I was in the band. I wore the hat with the feather coming out of it.
You were a prime target to be dominated by wrestlers.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, they respected the football players.
Yeah, I was in the fucking, I was in the stands playing, we are family. I'm just looking at my friends like, Jesus Christ. Had to do it, though. Had to fucking do it.
John Rahm arrived on Wednesday for the Masters. He's, you know, he's being described as like happy John Rahm, you know, because he's kind of a lunatic out there. We've all seen him in his darkest moments on the course. Arrived on Wednesday. He's one of the best players in the world. He's played well here before. Not sure how we feel, if it's like a problem that he arrived on Wednesday or if he's kind of going to have, if any like lack of preparation that he was able to do is obviously countered by like new dad energy, new dad karma, new dad like positive vibes only. I don't have any concerns in terms of like if John Rahm was my guy, if he was my horse this week, I wouldn't have really any concerns about him arriving on Wednesday.
Wonder if this changes him as a person at all. You know, because he's notoriously a hothead, notoriously. And it's new. This new dad thing is about as new as it can possibly be. I don't think it will, but it would be funny or interesting to now just see a super calm and zen John Rahm out there because he realizes that the world is bigger than just golf.
If there's a moment where he's about to just helicopter his club into a fucking pond and he's just like closes his eyes like, you got a baby at home. You got a baby at home. Be a good role model. And he just continues to walk.
That would be a nice little wrinkle into the John Rahm story.
Yeah, it's
It's not happening, by the way.
I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see a crazy person. Maybe for a few tournaments, he'll be calm. You know, it was a little bit like when Tiger came back. He's like, I'm a different, you know, I'm really going to change. And it's like, you kind of are who you are. You need to be who you are inside the ropes, especially when you're playing. Like, you can't be trying to dumb down your passion or how rattled you get. Or you're like, that's how he wins, is he's just himself and he reacts that way. And I don't think that we're ever going to change that. Like, where he's not going to be Happy Gilmore. It's not going to be, here comes a putter throw, and like, wait, he's restrained. It's like, we're not going to get that. We're going to get the crazy person. And again, I think it might take a tournament or two, but eventually he will come out and be who he is, I think.
Yeah, John Rahm being John Rahm has worked out pretty well for him. Pretty well. I think if he keeps being John Rahm, yeah, it's scary at times out there on the golf course for anyone in the surrounding area, but he's incredibly successful. So I don't see him changing anything.
Our TaylorMade landing page is now live. So people know, you go to barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade. You've heard us talk a lot about the Sim family, the Sim 2. We had a lot of them at the Barstool Classic on Monday here at Mid Pines. People were pumped about their Sim 2s. You can get your hands on them. The TaylorMade Sim family has hit stores. They're available now. And again, you go to barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade. You check out TaylorMade, Barstool Golf Gear, catch the latest videos that we've put on, catch the clubs that we like. The fact that clearly the defending Masters champion and the favorite, Dustin Johnson, he's in those videos with us because he's a TaylorMade guy. These guys can choose any company that they want, especially when you're the best player in the world. He won by posting 30 under in Boston last year, being a TaylorMade athlete. He won the Masters last year, being a TaylorMade athlete. So just do yourself a favor. Go check out our landing page. Folks, we have like our own TaylorMade landing page.
Yeah, it's pretty – I'm going through it right now. Crazy. It's pretty crazy. And let me give a quick shout-out to the Tour Response Balls. I mean, we've talked about them a lot. You can customize them. There's also the TP5, the TP5X. But if you're looking for something that's not as expensive as like those top-of-the-line balls, even though we do love the TP5 and TP5X, that Tour Response Ball is a great golf ball. It really is. Like, comparable to other companies that make golf balls, their lower line balls are usually just like, you can tell immediately that they're just shit compared to the premier ones. When I'm hitting these things, I mean, I'm also not the fucking best golfer in the world, but I really haven't ever been like, oh, this Tour Response Ball is fucking shit, I'm hitting rocks out here. They feel really good. They have that really premium ball feel. And I love them, man. We have boxes of everything. TP5, TP5X, and Tour Response. I found myself just grabbing Tour Responses recently out of my room and putting them in my bag just because, like, they're, like, sometimes half the price depending on where you find them, and they're just really fucking good golf balls. So Tour Response, keep an eye out for them if you're in the store.
I'm with you in that I don't even really notice the difference. Like, if I grab a new sleeve, I'm just as likely to grab the Tour Response as I am the TP5 or TP5. Like, it's just a really good golf ball. And like you said, for a lot of people out there that don't want to be going in paying $50 or whatever it might be at the place that you go to, Tour Response is going to be more affordable, and it's a fantastic golf ball. But on our landing page, we got, you can shop putters and get the putter that we've got that we've been rocking. You can get drivers, you can get irons. It's just a really cool spot. So barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade, because we're officially TaylorMade athletes, which is very, very cool. I want to go through a couple players of note. Lee Westwood. Lee Westwood's obviously been playing really good golf lately. He's got 2 second-place finishes. I'm at a point in my life where I would be very happy and satisfied with a Lee Westwood major championship win this week. I think it'd be really sweet.
Be awesome. I mean, that's like a guy that's just been after it for so long. Like, it'd be so cool to see him win. And he's just, like, to the non-Bryson effect, he's a guy that just in the locker room after having beers. And, like, this is all gravy. And so, I mean, that's a guy that I would applaud big time for winning.
Yeah. I'm torn between, like, Lee Westwood is the guy that doesn't win majors. Like, that's his role. That's who he is. Like, at the end of the day.
So you hope he sticks in that role?
Just, like, that's who he is. And at the end of his career, like, that was the guy that just didn't get it done. And like, there's got to be guys like that, and Lee Westwood unfortunately happens to be one of them right now. He's got a couple more chances, a couple more years. I mean, he looks physically better than he ever has. I think Riggs has brought that up before. Like, he's hotter than he ever has been. He looks healthier than he ever has been, skinnier, more fit. So he probably has a decent amount of time left. But I mean, don't tell me that doesn't tickle your fancy that, like, at the end of his career, like, Lee Westwood was the guy that just never got it done. And you can go through all the stats, be like, look how many times he came close. Like, that's a part of sports, is going back and the what ifs, the ifs, whats, and maybes. I mean,
you need the Charles Barkleys of the world.
You need the Charles Barkleys of the world. That adds to Charles Barkley's allure. Like, that is why Charles, that's a major part of Charles Barkley's, like, being.
It's a huge part of his identity, yeah.
I think you're right. It would be weird to see him get it done. Like, it would be, it feels like all's right in the world when Lee Westwood three jacks on 17 to, like, lose the tournament by one. Like, that is, we're back, baby. Like, we're in the, you know, we're all trying to get back to the new normal. That would be normal. You don't, like, the new normal or some weird thing would be Lee Westwood winning the Masters. I might be like, dude, we're not, that's like the groundhog saw his shadow and we're still in, like, COVID winter for a few more years because Lee Westwood just won the Masters. So I'm with you, Frankie. I think it would be weird and a little bit awkward, but at the end of the day, there was a period in my life where it's like Lee Westwood was European Ryder Cup and he was, you know, in it at the same time in terms of the 08 US Open and all that when Tiger Woods was winning majors. And it was like, I want Lee Westwood to collapse and I want Tiger Woods to win. And that is the world that I live in. Whereas I do think now I'm at a phase in my life, maybe it's like reflective of where Lee Westwood's also in a different phase of his life, where if Lee Westwood won the Masters, as much as it would be a little concerning that the world's not in the right place, I think it would be a very cool thing to witness.
I remember rooting against Sergio Garcia. I didn't ever wanted him to win a major, and then he did. But Lee Westwood, I'm rooting for. He just seems like a genuinely nice person. And I think as much as Lee Westwood says whenever asked about majors, he's like, I'm happy, I'm super hot, I'm enjoying my life right now. I think if he won one, he would say afterwards, boy, it feels good to get this. And, like, not that he's lying about how he feels in his life right now, but his life would be 10x better if he got the green jacket. So I'm rooting for him. He seems like a really nice guy.
I'm with you on the Sergio thing. We all had that feeling when we were at the Masters. Lurch was not at the Masters. But as someone that was there on that Sunday, let me explain that it does not matter who is putting for that green jacket. The idea of just being at Augusta and being on 18 and seeing that putt go in and someone win. I mean, the story goes, and everyone knows this, but I flew my hat around that fucking golf course as if I was a 1925's wife just saying goodbye to all the sailors going out to sea. I mean, to me, I would do the same thing with Lee Westwood. I'd fucking streak across that golf course if I had to, if I was there. You know what I mean? Like, you just get swept up in the emotion and the fun and the excitement. You don't know what the fuck you're rooting for. I was screaming Sergio's name. And I think prior to that tournament, I was like, fuck Sergio, I don't want him to win. I mean, he's walking off 18 and I'm going, Sergio! I had a little accent. I was going crazy.
Sergio!
Sergio! Sergio! And he's like looking at me like I'm going crazy. So it doesn't matter. I would fucking do that for Bryson if I was there. Because you're just at Augusta National. You just saw someone win the fucking Masters. So.
Right. They're accomplishing a lifelong dream.
Yes.
So, like, unless I would actually say the only person that would hate on that might be you, Frankie. So if you're doing that, I think everybody's doing that. Because you're like the one guy who roots from evil rather than from good, I would say. And, like, I would say, yeah, you're just seeing someone accomplish, like Lee, who's been waiting all this time, number one player, like, just win, like, accomplish everything that he's won.
The only interesting thing that I'd say, it'd be a predicament for all of us, is that, like, if we were there on Sunday watching Tiger Woods go down to, like, the end and lose on a dagger fucking putt, like, I don't know that we're waving our hats for the opposing winner. I think there's like a real, oh, fuck feeling on that 18th green. Like walking out of Augusta, like you just left your favorite team's stadium, like head down, quiet in the hallways. Where's your car? Where'd you park? That feeling. I think that's the only example of leaving that place upset, is if it really came down to the last putt.
Right.
Yeah,
if you snatch a major trophy away from Tiger, I'm out on that. Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, or Kiz, right? Like, if it was Kiz in the battle against Lee Westwood, I don't know that we'd be, you know, we'd obviously be rooting for Kiz. But outside of, like, one of our guys, you're right. Yep. It's hard to root against that. But then, you know, but you also, like, there are certain people you want to see them have that moment where they reach and achieve their like life dream over others. And I guess I'm at a point where Lee Westwood is now one that I would like him over many others at this point, just because it, like, you know, JT's going to get a bunch of chances and probably win one. But like, if Lee Westwood's there, like, this is probably it for Lee Westwood.
Tiger comes back next year and it's Tiger versus Kiz on Sunday. Who are you rooting for?
I mean, we've been asked this question before. I think if it's legit Kiz and Tiger, like, five shots ahead of the rest of the field, I think I'm just rooting for good golf.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Pick a side, man.
I'm picking
Tiger Woods, man.
I'm going for Tiger.
And, like, there's a part of Kiz that would fucking understand that 100%. 100% would be like, yeah, it's your guy's guy. Like, what? How, like, he only has a couple left. Imagine fucking Rudy against Tiger Woods at Augusta National. Like, to miss the final putt. If Tiger has a final putt to win the fucking Masters after all this now. Oh, then, man. Be the greatest story in sports history. Driving off a cliff next year, he's putting on the green jacket.
It'd be hard for me to not be rooting for Kevin Kisner. It'd be really hard. Really hard. That's the guy that just texted you from the locker room.
And still, it's Tiger fucking Woods. And still. It's like you're comparing a best friend to fucking, like, the gods opening up and looking down upon you, being like, come with me or stay on Earth. It's like, Jesus, all right, yeah, I like this guy, but you're fucking, you got eternal happiness up there. I mean, you gotta go fly, baby. You gotta go with the T-Man.
I think I would go Kiz. I think I would have to root for Kiz. I don't think I could not do it.
Kiz has so many more opportunities, though. That's my thing. Like, if he finishes second,
does
in the
he?
Masters,
Kiz has never finished top 20.
That's
top 20 at the third.
That's not necessarily true.
But like, what? I meant like just like his career wise, like playing. Like, he literally has more opportunities. I'm not saying his results are the factor in that, but he quite literally will be playing more Masters than Tiger.
My internet is so fucking bad that I'm catching only a couple of words of this discussion.
That's
yeah, I know what you're
incredible
saying.
And like a second finish to like a dagger putt by Tiger would actually propel him to be like a favorite the next year. He'd just be in the mix. So I don't know. I do know. It's Tiger Woods. Sorry, Kiz. I fucking love you. I don't even think it's a question.
Right. It's one of the easier questions I've ever been asked.
That's crazy to me that you say it that way. Like, I don't know.
It's Tiger.
Yeah,
100%, and I'm rooting for him.
So, Ben, if your brother was in the final group against Tiger Woods,
yeah,
who are you rooting for?
All right, I'm going to go brother here, but
that's fucking blood.
But my point is that there is a line. So why is it so crazy to be like, if that's one of your good friends, then like, or Tiger. My point is that it's not inevitable.
I think Lurch's life legitimately changes if his brother wins the Masters, and ours is just like, oh, the guy that we really like to have on the show and is like our good pal and will text us, like, won the Masters. Like, Kiz's life changes immensely. Like, ours is just like, we still do this podcast. And, like,
Frankie,
our life may change more if Tiger wins. Like, how much fucking merch we'd sell? Are you kidding me?
Frankie, question for you, because there is a line. Riggs is right. How about someone in this podcast versus Tiger Woods, like, hypothetical, to win the Masters?
I mean, it depends on what happens to that person after they win the Masters. Like, am I getting left in the fucking dust, or are we, like, on the ride together? Because, like, yeah, at some point it's got to be a little selfish, like, if fucking Trent wins the Masters, is no longer on the podcast and becomes a multimillionaire, I'm not rooting for that to happen because I want to keep doing the podcast. Like, I'm rooting for Tiger. Sorry, Trent.
Trent can't hear anything. He's in the office. He's got the worst connection.
He's doing a courtesy laugh because he can't hear anything.
I'm just a listener at this point.
Well, I said I wish you wouldn't win the Masters.
I'm sure you had your reasons, but I would like to win the Masters. But in the original discussion, I'm picking Tiger, no doubt. And I know that three out of the four people on the show did as well. It's just, I love Kisner. We all love Kisner. But Tiger, it's like, it's just legacy shit. And it's stuff that we've been, you know, our whole lives have been talking about. Like, I just have, we have such a history with Tiger, a long, long history. That's got to be Tiger. It has to.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. Like, Joel Damon, like, these guys winning is incredible, and it's awesome to see, but, like, it doesn't affect us at all. Like, nothing gets changed at all. And, like, so, like, at the end of the day, as just a fan, you almost have to take a step back and be like, all right, like, if I didn't have that connection to that person, who would I actually want to win? And it's always Tiger Woods. Like, just as
but
a
I think we
fan,
do have that connection.
Is there anything
that's the
cut
difference.
Out for Frankie? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I see your point for sure. I mean, it's definitely an argument, but for me, it's Tiger Woods.
I'm trying to think about, like, who's your best buddy on the Islanders?
That's probably my pal Brock Nelson.
So, like, if Brock Nelson, like, quit to play golf full-time and he's in the final group with Tiger Woods coming down the stretch, are you definitely, you're like no-brainer Tiger Woods?
Definitely makes it a little bit more difficult, but I think even he would admit, like, yet, yeah, like, it's like I was rooting for that prior to him quitting hockey and playing for the Masters, no doubt about it. Like, and also watching a guy finish in second, yeah, it's disastrous, but it's still like the ultimate fucking story that, like, your best buddy just fucking lost to Tiger Woods on Sunday at Augusta. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's still not that crazy. And also, that scenario is just so ridiculous. Like, yeah, obviously, if it was a Michael Jordan scenario and, like, this guy quit the fucking one sport, went to the other sport, it'd be the biggest story in all of sports. So yeah, I'd hop on that train, no problem. Kevin Kisner's a golfer. Kevin Kisner finished T21 in 2019 at this thing. Like, him winning wouldn't be that out of the blue. He's a golfer. He's a professional golfer. He's a top 25 golfer in the world. It wouldn't be that, like, crazy to say that he won a golf tournament. You know what
no,
I mean?
Like, it wouldn't be that crazy, but I guess my point is that, like, I think that we have a deeper connection with Kiz than just he comes on the show sometimes. Like, I think he's our buddy. He's genuinely our buddy.
He is. But also, like, Tiger Woods is our fucking guy, too. Like, he's the boss man.
Right. Riggs is trying to find that line. I think for Frankie, that line is, if someone wins, is there a line item in the contract of winning that Frankie's going to get cut into the benefits
yeah.
of the win? Well, and if he is, then Frankie's all about that individual. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's Mike Tyson, if it's Frankie's sister, whoever.
Right.
As long as there's a line item in there that says Frankie gets X and his life will benefit by 10%, then, like, Frankie's in on that. So,
well, and Lurch, to that point, like, because, like, if I'm going to root for a friend, I might, like, over our guy that we've fucking
right.
died to have win, like, there has to be a little bit more of a connection with the friend other than me just wanting to see that friend be happy. Yeah. Like, all right, yeah, that guy's going to be happy if he walks away with fucking 800 grand and finishes in fourth, too. His 100%. Life is just he's just a golfer.
Actually, quick point that just came up on my phone today. You know, Google Photos sends you, like, reminders when things are certain, like, 2 years old, whatever the case may be. I got a notification today that 2 years ago, we really had that conversation of would you take five-foot putts for, like, $5 million each, and would you do them? And so that was 2 years ago today. And so I was out in Arizona shortly after that. I made three putts, missed two, so I would have been in jail for 2 years. So I would have got out today, financially benefited $15 million, and been out to watch the Masters. And I think that's one I would sign on for tomorrow.
Yep.
Like, that didn't seem yeah. like that long, and I got $15 million in my pocket.
My mental health would have been better these last 2 years. Who knows where the show would have taken off to, and you would have been $15 million fucking richer. So you know what? We probably should have done that 2 years ago. We all would have been in a better spot. Lurch would have been like, whatever, with 15 schmil, just fucking flinging $100 bills. You'd be the best fucking 15 millionaire ever. You'd spend that shit for sure.
I mean, I would try to save a little bit, but yeah, I'd be spending that money.
You'd be
yeah.
spending
I mean,
that.
Knowing that, and everybody in this room probably is going to make, I would say, between two and four putts of those five. I don't know, maybe one guy goes five for five. I mean, that's still a
we all
no
take
brainer.
That deal. I take that yeah. deal for sure. Nothing in the last 2 years has really been...
For 15 mil?
Nothing stands out to me that, like, I had to be there for. I mean, the Islanders lost in the playoffs. Like, I mean, like, nothing really... I did go to the White House. That was pretty fucking cool. But with 15 million, I feel like I can get back in there.
Maybe.
Do you think when you came back, you would still be you in terms of your, like, status in Barstool and golf? Or do you think you'd just be, like, would you, can you, like, recover from missing?
Probably walk with a limp out of there, but I'd, no, yeah, I'd like to think that I'm somewhat me. Maybe I have a different perspective on life.
You'd be coming out like Bobby Shmurda. We'd be like, Frankie's home. This is great. And I think the hype would be high, Frankie coming home.
Dude, that return podcast, the fact that I went to jail for missing a couple putts and stuff, like the fact that like it's nothing that crazy, I had to go to jail, but I have $15 million. Dude, I would get carried onto the podcast on a gold throne, like fucking, who's the guy that wears the fucking clock around his neck?
Flavor Flav?
Flava Flav. Like, I'd be wearing a crown, and I'd have a staff. It would be insane.
Yeah, that would be a money show. Everybody would have to listen to that one. Frankie's returned from prison. Frankie's out. Frankie's free.
I've been doing a couple of those little New York State scratch-offs because someone gave one to me for Easter, and I hit for, like, 90, and then I went and bought, like, a $50 one with it or $30 one. Those are exhilarating, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You lost, I assume, though?
I actually won 30, so I'm going to get another one. It's like a never-ending thing, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I would love to, like, I always see that big number. That's the only reason I bring that up, the $10 million cash or something like that. Or that'd be pretty cool just to, like, if you just scratch that off and just saw that.
Yeah, 10 mil is pretty cool.
It'd be pretty cool,
That's
man.
Strong. That's really strong. All right, we're going to be live, so everybody knows. We're going to be live pretty much Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to be at the Barstool Sportsbook house. We're going to be live betting everything that's going on, and people need to realize that if you showcase to us your setup using a transfusion unlike any other, that is the hashtag, a transfusion unlike any other, tweet it at us, show us your setup. We get them all the time. You got like five different screens going, you're pretending like you're working, you got Amen Corner, you've got 15 and 16, you got a couple featured groups, and you got yourself a little transfusion. Use the hashtag a transfusion unlike any other, tweeted at us, and we are going to be giving away a prize pack to our winner. It's going to include a transfusion t-shirt, a transfusion polo, a Peter Millar transfusion solid stretch polo, and a Peter Millar performance quarter zip, as well as a club head cover. So you get a club head cover, a couple Peter Millar items, transfusion polo, transfusion tee. Awesome, awesome prize pack that you can get. So tweet at us your setup. We want to see them. A transfusion unlike any other. That is the hashtag. And enjoy the Masters. We're going to have a great time, fellas.
Can't wait.
Honestly, can't wait. Last year's Masters was great, but it was not what this is going to be. It's going to be so awesome.
What did Jake just say? I'm looking at Jake trying to make sure we don't mess anything up here, our producer. People got to realize that we got a whole thing going on where we're trying to get our audio better. We clap at certain times. We don't clap at certain times. We're out of here. We're going to end the show. Go check out our YouTube page if you have not. Go check out the Dustin Johnson video. It's awesome. Enjoy the Masters. Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.